Well, good evening. Thank you for coming out for our city council meeting. We just returned from a closed session, and I am going to check in with our city attorney shortly and get an update on that. And we will then go forward with a few presentations and such things. Mr. City Attorney, is there anything to report from closed session?
No, there's nothing to report.
Thank you. Let's go ahead with a Pledge of Allegiance by Councilwoman Fonzie. Thank you. Let's go ahead with a roll call.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
And Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
And I will reflect in the minutes that Mayor Pro Tem Moreno is absent.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have three presentations this evening, and the first one is a proclamation recognizing May 15th through 21st, 2016 as National Police Week, and May 15, 2016 as National Peace Officers Memorial Day. I've asked Councilman Kelly, who is a retired law enforcement officer, to present this proclamation.
Thank you, Mayor. Whereas in 1962, President John F. Kennedy, by a joint resolution of Congress, established National Police Week, and whereas on September the 13th, 1994, President Bill Clinton, by order of public law, directed that the flag be lowered to half-staff on National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and whereas special tribute is paid to those law enforcement officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty for the safety and protection of others, and whereas the professional members of the Atascadero Police Department, as guardians of our community, risk their lives and personal safety in playing an essential role safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the residents of Atascadero. And whereas the Atascadero Police Department is a well-trained, efficient, an effective law enforcement organization that has a 31-year history of service that enables our residents to live in peace, and whereas it is important that all residents recognize the duties, responsibilities, and sacrifices of their police department as guardians of life and liberty, defenders of the innocent, protectors against violence and disorder, and whereas the community desires to honor, recognize, and respect the valor and dedication of its police department, and whereas the 2016 Peace Officers Memorial Ceremony will be held at the Atascadero Veterans Memorial on May the 19th, 2016 at 10 a.m., and the community is invited to attend. And whereas we should all remember and recognize with appropriate ceremony in which all of our people may join in commemorating peace officers, both past and present, who by their faithful and loyal devotion to their responsibilities have rendered a dedicated and unselfish service to their community, and in so doing have established for themselves trust, respect, honor, and an enduring reputation for preserving the rights and security of all. Now, therefore, we, the City Council of the City of Atascadero, call upon all residents of Atascadero and upon all civic and educational organizations to observe the week of May the 15th through the 21st, 2016, as National Police Week, and to observe May the 15th, 2016, as National Peace Officers Memorial Day by lowering the United States of America flag to half staff on that day. Furthermore, we hereby honor the memories of those fallen heroes and pay our condolences to their surviving friends and families.
And to
Chief. Chief, should we go out and have our picture taken now?
Sure.
Yeah.
want to present this to Chief Haley for the outstanding job that he and his department does. And Sergeant Caleb, we appreciate your service too.
Well, this may be the longest part of our agenda this evening is just the presentations. We don't have a lot else on the agenda, and we're very glad to have these community opportunities of recognition. Next item is a commendation to Mr. Heath West. I was commenting that he looks way too young to have had so much community service. But we're honored to have you here this evening. And I've asked Councilwoman Fonzie to read this proclamation and commendation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Heath, would you mind standing? I have some personal information about Heath, and I just think it's very important to commend you. You have done a lot of service in your lifetime. That Heath West has served in the military active army for the last 18 years with tours in Iraq in a combat unit. He's been awarded 24 state military awards from California and 14 federal military awards. Heath was nominated for Veteran of the Year in 2013 and presented a plaque by Assemblymember Kacho Ashajian for recognition of service to his community. He has spent the last 10 years working with children in many capacities, including coaching basketball, baseball, soccer, and football. In addition to being a volunteer for the city's recreation program at the community center, he's also a registered volunteer for the Atascadero Unified School District, assisting with school field trips and volunteering with the Atascadero High School football program. Through military, Heath works with Special Olympics every year for their annual event at Cuesta College and many other community programs with the Army. Throughout the years, Heath has built up quite a following of Atascadero youth as he has coached one or another team. He started as a volunteer coach for the Atascadero Youth Basketball League, but had a strong desire to do more to help the program succeed. Over the years, he has volunteered numerous hours and has created a right-hand man for the league. Last fall, he helped create a new youth drop-in evening basketball program to help get players ready for the Winter League. He steps in to coach multiple teams each season and always gives 100% to each and every team. West always volunteers his time to score, keep, and officiate whenever needed without hesitation. He is actively involved with the annual Atascadero Police Department versus Special Olympics basketball game. Each year he volunteers as an official and always does a terrific job in making it a really fun experience for everyone involved. Whenever he stops by the rec center, the teens all want to play games or have a conversation with him. Heath always makes time for each and every one of them. I'm just flabbergasted. This is quite amazing. So I'd like to read just very shortly. I'm going to cut this back a little bit since we've already heard quite a bit of what you've done, Heath. But whereas the California Park and Recreation Society District 8 selected Mr. Heath West as champion of the community for 2015. And whereas Heath West has been coaching in Atascadero for many years and has been actively involved with the Atascadero Police Department in the Special Olympics basketball game, and along with involvement in many youth sports throughout the city of Atascadero, Heath West has served overseas as a member of the military and continues to actively serve at San Luis Obispo. Whereas Heath West has been an outstanding citizen within the community of Atascadero and is viewed as a positive influence on youth of all ages. And whereas the city of Atascadero hereby thanks Heath West for his service and his unwavering support for our community youth sports program. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Atascadero does hereby officially recognize and commend Heath West for a service to our youth, to our community, and to the City of Atascadero. Thank you, Heath.
Thank you. And please come forward. We'll do another picture. And for our last proclamation this evening is recognizing May 1st through 7th as National Travel and Tourism Week, and we have Mr. Brendan Pringle from Visit San Luis Obispo County to accept the proclamation. First, I'm going to ask Ms. Terry Banish to give us a little update on our tourism activities here in Atascadero, and then Brendan will share about the rest of the world.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor, for that. As far as our local things going on, we have the Cider Festival that just happened, Brew at the Zoo. We have quite a bit going on with our tourism and promoting the city, as well as our Visit Atascadero with our tourism board, and together with that, Visit San Luis Obispo County and all the things that they're doing. So on June 14th at our city council meeting, we are going to be talking about our city marketing plan, giving a review of that, as well as having Verdon here to do the Visit Atascadero marketing plan recap. In addition to that, we will have Visit San Luis Obispo County here to talk about what they're doing. So we have a full June 14th of tourism and promotions and what we're doing together with promoting Atascadero. So,
thank you. Mr. Pringle, come on up, and we will present this prestigious award to you after you share some thoughts.
Sounds good. Well, on behalf of Visit San Luis Obispo County, thank you for recognizing National Travel and Tourism Week. My name is Brendan Pringle. I'm the office manager for Visit San Luis Obispo County. National Travel and Tourism Week is the official salute to tourism. Last week we held our tourism exchange where we had speakers like Chuck Davison, who's the president and CEO of Visit SoCal County, We also had Carolyn Beteta give a keynote address talking about what they're doing at the state level, as well as Merrill Research giving the results of an awareness study, how we are seen by other markets outside of San Luis Obispo County. And CBRE gave a really valuable 2017 lodging forecast. And video recordings of the event are going to be available on our website, which is visitsanluisobispocounty.com. Just a few stats on county tourism. Tourism continues to keep San Luis Obispo County's local communities economically vibrant, growing at a 4% rate over 2014, which is a 14% increase from the previous year's growth rate. Industry earnings generated by travel and tourism spending reached its highest number yet at $510 million in 2015, which is an increase of $40 million in 2014. Jobs also increased at 4.5% over 2014, and tourism-related jobs in total in San Luis Obispo County reached an all-time high of 17,870 persons employed, which is an increase of 760 from 2014, which makes up 10.4% of total employment in the county. Local and state tax receipts totaled $132 million in revenue generated by travel spending, reflecting a 6% and 1.5% increase over 2014, respectively. And San Luis Obispo County has lastly also recorded an approximate 8.6% average increase in TOT for 2015. So as we like to say, tourism is serious business for San Luis Obispo County. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Would you like a commemorative photo to take back with you? Okay. One. Next item on our agenda is the consent calendar. Items considered to be routine, they do not need a full staff report or a lot of discussion. However, I'm going to pull item 6 just so we can have a little bit of a discussion on it, because I think that it represents a very good community partnership that should be noticed. Any other consent calendar items?
Yes, I just have a quick question on item 3 and 4, so I'd like to pull those.
Okay, well, why don't we just go ahead and have those questions answered now, if you want to, on items 3 and 4, if they're just a couple of questions.
Yes, I don't need a full presentation. It was just regarding the amount of drop that these assessments are going down, that in one case it was an 80% decrease in the cost of the maintenance and lighting and so forth, particularly landscaping. I have a feeling I just wondered what was going on.
Yes, so we meet each, we hold a notice meeting every year to discuss assessments and what's going on and what will be needed to fund the district. As part of that assessment, we look at how much money we have on hand and how much will be needed. Several of these districts, and I have to admit I didn't look to see which ones are 3 and 4, have money on hand from when they started up and before the city took over the maintenance of them. And each of the districts is choosing to use those reserves in different ways. Some districts like to use it a little at a time. Others have very strong opinions about, hey, no, we want to use as much as possible this year, and next year we're expecting a huge increase. Jerry Rangel and Nick DeBar both attend those meetings. And if you have anything else to add, Jerry?
We are also seeing a stabilization of kind of the costs and have a little bit more history of where those are so we can plan the levies accordingly. We do also have a maximum levy amount that is different from what is actually charged. So the maximum levy, we cannot charge any more than that. But in the event that something happens in the district or there's additional needs, we could go up to that amount. We are not finding that that is necessary to go all the way to that amount currently.
So the residents within these assessment districts are proposing that it be decreased this amount?
Yes, they are. It's compromise, so we propose as staff a recommendation of what we think that the district needs, and in most cases the residents that came to the neighborhood meetings agreed with that, and so we present those to council as
very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions on consent calendar items? Any member of the public wishing to pull any other consent calendar items? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on consent calendar items 1 through 5.
I move approval for consent items 1 through 5.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Well, actually, when I was on KPRL today, this is the only thing that really generated interest. People are very pleased to see some increase, at least, in law enforcement efforts in our community. This is especially meaningful to me because we're adding a school resource officer, and I'm pleased to see that we do have our assistant superintendent in joining us this evening, Mr. E.J. Rossi. I expect we'll hear from you a little later. And this really came about from a discussion from a committee some of us are on. Councilman Sturdivant and I sit on a city schools committee, which is also made up of two school board members, and we also have our city manager and the superintendent. And we discuss items that have mutual interest to the city and the schools, and safety is always a number one. And I know we had some discussion about just crossing areas and how that can certainly slow down traffic on some days right at that school rush time. And that's also it's a safety concern. And really out of that discussion, our staff and the school district staff really came to a solution that we really very much appreciate. And the school is willing to fund a portion of this, a great portion of this. And I would just ask the chief to take it away. And if you wanted to describe that particularly and the other items and introduce anyone else that might have some input on this, it's in your hands.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I appreciate the opportunity just to briefly rediscuss the proposal. I think it is important for the public to hear. I think it's important for the public to know what we're doing to keep our schools safe, especially in light of a number of recent pretty high-profile incidents that we've had in the city. For a couple of years now, we've talked about a number of different measures within the police department at our strategic planning sessions that we felt would help to improve the services within the community. And we've had a great deal of difficulty implementing those due to limited resources and other things. We were approached by the school district earlier this year with a solution potentially to concerns they have and concerns that we have in a number of areas. What they were proposing, and apparently it did arise out of some conversations we were having at Safe Schools meetings, what they were proposing was to have the Atascadero Police Department begin to provide services of a school resource officer. And the current contract that they have is with the probation department, but they are looking to change a little bit of the level of service and the type of service that is being offered on the campus. And so we began to meet together with the superintendent and representatives from our department to determine what was the best possible avenue and approach to see if we could make this happen, to kind of make it a win-win for both of us. And we've come to an agreement whereby they would provide some funding sources to the city to attempt to compensate them for the time of the police officer up to 180 days during the school year. Obviously, there would be times when the police officer is not on the campus and is doing other duties, other work that would be assigned by the department, especially during the summertime. We don't anticipate the officer to be utilized by the school district during that time. We will utilize his services, his or her services during that time. So during vacation breaks and summertime period, we will get services from the police officer to backfill for vacation and provide us with other benefits. One of the biggest concerns, though, was how do we keep our campuses safe and what's the best way to go forward with providing services to our youth that is not necessarily heavy-handed law enforcement. And so we, in our discussions with the school district staff, have talked to them about the idea of using some sort of alternative methods to deal with low-level offenders that we encounter on campuses. We certainly would never use these approaches for things like crimes of violence or weapons on campus, but for other low-level offenses, we would love to implement things like teen court, things like reactive model policing, things that would enable us to go and encounter these youth and try and deal with the problem in a different way rather than put them into the criminal justice system. The school district was fully on board with us on the discussion of that. We did not want to be seen as kind of the long arm of the law on campus. We wanted to be seen as the interaction on a daily basis that we would have with the students that results in a positive outcome as opposed to a negative one. One of the things that we talked about when we were first approached with this idea is the possibility of still being able to maintain the same level of service and even increase the level of service to our community in conjunction with providing school resource officer services to the school district. And we began to have a discussion at the staff level about the implementation of a community service officer program. That's the type of program that's currently being used by our neighbors to the north in Paso Robles, by a number of other city entities throughout the state, to provide law enforcement services, but to do so at a reduced expense by making it a non-sworn position. And so we discussed that. We also discussed the idea of potentially promoting one corporal to the rank of sergeant and having that individual take over a number of administrative responsibilities that are currently being done by the patrol sergeants. Those duties and responsibilities keep them off of the street and in the office. That's where we don't want them. We want them out on the street, out on patrol, being proactive, providing that level of service to our people. So we've come up with a model that we think can accomplish all three. Implements the school resource officer program, has an administrative sergeant position, take on roles and responsibility that move well beyond what currently is able to be offered by our department, and then the implementation of a community services officer program to provide a level of service to our community that we currently may not be able to offer just because of high priority calls for service. And we're trying to reduce the amount of time it takes us to respond to calls, trying to improve the level of service when we respond to those lower priority calls. So the proposal before you is actually kind of a use of current CFD funds combined with funds that would be provided by the Atascadero Unified School District. And through a combination of those funds, we would implement all three of those positions within the coming couple of months. We believe that it will benefit us. We believe that it will benefit the school district. And we will mostly believe that it will benefit the residents of Atascadero with improved quality service and enhance safety on our school campuses. I'd be happy to answer any questions about it. I'm not going into too much detail at this point. I'd rather wait and find out what questions you have about the staff report. And then from there, I know that we have a representative from the school district on hand. E.J. Rossi, the assistant superintendent, is here to answer questions. Sergeant Davis, almost called him Commander Davis. Nice promotion for him.
Right before your eyes, Commander. Congratulations.
It's going to be a little extra money here, but we'll make the numbers work, right? Sergeant Davis is here as well. Sergeant Davis is if approved, going to be moving into that spot, taking over some of those roles and responsibility, and has really been kind of the leading force in our effort to craft what this position would look like, and has taken a lead role in working with the school district in crafting the memorandum of understanding with the school district. Works hand in hand with EJ, not daily, but nearly for the last couple of weeks to get this all done. So we're here to answer any questions you have, and I'd be happy to take the first ones.
Thank you. I think this is very efficient and effective and very good thinking on the department's part, and we appreciate that. And I can't think of anyone better than Sergeant Davis for this position, too. And if you need any help, just ask your wife, and she'll tell you all you need to know. But yeah, as you know, your wife is still a principal at one of the schools, so what a team you both are in our community, and thank you for your service. We do have a few council questions. Begin with Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did read the staff report and saw that there was a comment about Proposition 47 impacts. Have you found that to be something that's affecting our schools and our children, and this is one of the reasons for this position?
Yes, I actually have a slide I'll show you during the city manager presentation. We'll bring it up now. There have been a significant number of impacts. I was planning on presenting this anyway during the city manager presentation, but we have seen a dramatic increase throughout the state. This is a slide that has been prepared by the Cal Chiefs to demonstrate the increase in property crimes occurring in our state. And we believe it's a direct result of what happened with the passage of Proposition 47. What you see is a general decline in crime overall throughout the state in the preceding decade. And then with the implementation of AB 109, which was prison realignment, we saw a little spike, which leveled out. And then now we're starting to see a pretty significant spike in low-level property crimes with the passage of Proposition 47. I was surprised it happened this fast, quite frankly. I think it is going to continue to increase as low-level offenders are not facing prosecution for their crimes, and as narcotics offenders are no longer being held in custody for their crimes, but rather being issued citations and remaining out of custody. I think we're going to continue to see low-level property theft crimes increase in the decade to come. So we are seeing a significant increase, yes.
Thank you. And one other question. This is regarding the MOU. I noticed that it would be a two-year position that could be renewed or moved to another officer. Is 2 years a good period of time, or is this the kind of position that would actually burn out that officer and you need to have more flexibility?
It's been my experience that once they get into the position, you have to drag a school resource officer out of the position kicking and screaming, especially those that truly form bonds with the kids. Once you've established a program like Restorative Justice or Teen Court or something like that, you have some real buy-in to that program. My anticipation is going to be that this partnership will continue on much, much further than just 2 years. It's 2 years right now with an option to increase to a third year. My anticipation is that we'll continue that well beyond this, because we have a great relationship with our school district. That's been the case since I stepped into this role almost 5 years ago. It's only gotten better, quite frankly. Superintendent Butler and I have communicated at times on a daily basis with some of the events that have happened around here. And so our partnership is solid. We have a great interaction between us, and I would anticipate that we'll continue on now. Within the department, we anticipate that we're going to switch this position from time to time to enable more of our officers the opportunity to move into that role and to have an impact. We believe that each new officer that comes into the role will have fresh ideas and bring their own unique impacts into that position. And so we anticipate right now that every 2 or 3 years we will rotate through to a different officer. But for the most part, we'll have to really pry them out of that position with a crowbar.
Very good. Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to the public. We would welcome any comments from certainly Sergeant Davis or Mr. Rossi or anyone else in the public. Welcome.
Mr. Mayor and Councilman and Councilwoman. I'm excited to be here tonight, and can't speak enough about the relationship that we've been able to form as a school district with the Atascadero Police Department. I originally moved to Atascadero in 1993 and have seen the great relationship that our police department has had with our community. And over the last 8 years while I've been at the high school, just an amazing relationship that I've been able to see formed with myself and the officers throughout our district. And over the last few years, it's definitely been a conversation point that we've had of how can we continue to grow that relationship? How can we continue to grow our partnership? Historically, our district has partnered for quite a while with county probation for a specific set of services. And one of the key areas that we've seen that has been lacking is how do we expand that relationship from Atascadero Police Department officers and our staff to our students? And just directly seeing that impact of what it'll have with that relationship with our kids, and how do we get the youth in our community to be able to see that and build that bond with our officers that where they that serve our community. So as we've really tried to grow that opportunity and the discussions that Sergeant Davis and I have been able to have, and the chief and I have been able to have, and that was Superintendent Butler as well, we're very excited that we have this opportunity to be able to bring that. And just to reiterate some of the points that Chief Haley brought up, we don't see this as an extra arm of discipline. We want that person in there, that officer, interacting with our students, rebuilding to restore behaviors and relationships with kids. That's the key piece that we want. We don't see this as someone who we're in the middle of a discipline police. We can call them in to take over the rest. I think the events this year that we've seen have been evident of the amazing work that our officers do. And in each case, whenever we've needed something, it's been APD that's been right there by us. Even with our agreement with the sheriff's office, we really have relied on Atascadero Police Department just to be our partners, really, in education and service and providing security to our and safety to our students. And so we're happy to be able to continue that with this agreement. The question that Councilwoman Fonzie asked about the relationship and the contract agreement length, I concur. I think that this will be something that we will continue on indefinitely. We are very excited to get to this point to have this conversation. It's one that we've all been talking about for quite a while.
Well, thank you. Any questions while Mr. Rossi is here? You've explained the program well. Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Any commanders in the audience want to speak on the item? Okay. I'll bring it back to council, and I will move that we adopt staff's recommendation.
Second.
A motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilman Fonzie. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. A comment by Councilman Kelly.
I'd just like to make a comment. When I first heard about this, the first concern I had was officer safety on the street, that we were not going to take some officers off the street and put them in the school for possibly political reasons. But after talking with the chief, I'm 100% confident that this is actually a better program and we'll have more officers on the street and a better safety program for the officers. So I want to commend all of you for putting a program together and thinking about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. We will move on to the next item on the agenda then is updates from our city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. So I need to talk about all the wonderful events we've been having and are going to have. So let's start with Brew at the Zoo. For any of you that were able to attend that wonderful event, it was a fantastic event. We couldn't ask for better weather. A total of nearly 500 guests showed up to our Brew at the Zoo, and it was really a lot of fun for everyone. We had a great time with karaoke, when there were some incredible karaoke singers and some not so incredible karaoke singers. The hula hoop contest was quite a hoot. That gentleman you see there in blue was just amazing with that hula hoop. He could sit down, stand up, do all sorts of stuff, and everybody else had the same difficulties I would have with the hula hoop. So it was a wonderful time. We had 11 craft breweries, ciders, and wines. We had a wide variety of food with Bavarian pretzels, roasted corn, Mr. Pickle sandwiches, shave and flav taco, kettle corn, and all sorts of fun. So that's an exciting event, and we look forward to it again next year. We also had the Central Coast Cider Festival, and this was this last weekend. I was unable to attend because the event was sold out very quickly. With over 350 paid guests, there were over 13 cider houses pouring a variety of ciders. Catering was provided by Jeff Scott of Vineyard Events, and music and entertainment by Alec Little and Them Rounders. People that have attended said this was incredible. They all enjoyed themselves. They thought it was a wonderful event, had a great vibe is what I heard, and a lot of good time was had by everyone. And we had Cookie Adventure at the Charles Paddock Zoo. I know this is a tradition for a lot of mothers here on the Central Coast. Moms got a special treat during Mother's Day, along with dads and kids, too. Several of our local bakeries teamed up with the zoo on Sunday afternoon to provide lots of tasty cookie treats, including Sun and Buns from Morro Bay, Sweet Alexis Bakery from Los Osos, and Cider Creek Bakery from Paso Robles. Zoo staff and volunteers helped hand out treats and provided craft and game opportunities to over 400 guests. We have the Police Officers Memorial coming up. This moving event will be held at the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial on Morro Road near Atascadero Lake Park. It's held on Thursday, May 19th, beginning at 10 a.m., and on Peace Officers Memorial Day and Police Week, pay tribute to the local, state, and federal law enforcement officers who serve and protect us with coverage and dedication. This is an incredible event to attend, and I encourage people to go out to the event. We have the 27th Day Children's Day in the Park. It's going to be May 21st. At 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Atascadero Lake Park. This event is free to attend, and a $5 wristband gains entry into the carnival area full of games and activities. Kids will have lots of fun with the bounce houses to jump in, pinatas to break, and Joe's little train to take rides on. Free entertainment will take place throughout the day. A variety of food and drinks will also be available. And this event showcases local service organizations and businesses while also giving parents an opportunity to learn more about local resources available to them. All proceeds from this event go to the Summer Aquatics Program. The Atascadero Veterans Memorial Foundation, another incredibly moving event, will be holding their annual Faces of Freedom Ceremony Memorial Day celebration. It will be held on Monday, May 30th. The one-hour ceremony will begin at 12 noon, also at the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial. They'll have a community barbecue right there at the lake park afterwards. The annual event is an opportunity for San Luis Obispo County to remember and honor our nation's fallen heroes. This is an incredible tribute. They recognize some of our local heroes, and it's quite an event. Everyone should go. Saturday tours of Historic City Hall will begin on Saturday, May 28th through Saturday, September 3rd from 1 to 4 p.m. At City Hall. Atascadero Historical Society docents will take you on a journey back in time covering the beginning of our colony through the restoration process from the San Simeon earthquake. For more information, go to visit atascadero.com or atascaderocolonymuseum.org. Everyone that has taken the docent tour, if you think you know Atascadero history or you're thinking, I don't want to see City Hall, everyone I know that's taken this tour has come away going, wow, that's just amazing. I didn't know that, and recommending it to their friends. So if you haven't had a tour of City Hall yet, if you haven't been able to walk through the building with a docent, take some time on Saturday. It'd be a great thing. Each tour lasts about an hour. They can do a little bit quicker if you'd like, but it's well worth it. We have Atascadero Lake Fest coming up on June 18th, and we want to make sure that everybody's got it marked on their calendars. It's going to be held from noon to 5 p.m., and it's a Friends of the Lake event. It promises to be a fun day for all. Lots of good activities, including a cardboard canoe boats. We are going to be accommodate some paddleboard activities, lots of booths and games and food. So please come out on June 18th. And then, of course, in June, we have a host of other things. We're going to have a Atascadero Wine Festival. It's going to start on June 25th. Tuesday evenings in the park begin June 14th. Summer concert series starts on June 18th. We're going to have Movies in the Garden, Hot El Camino Cruise Night in August. And we're going to have a new Dancing in the Streets thing, event, which should be exciting. So a lot of summer activities coming up, and I'll talk about those at future council meetings. Prop 47, I think we already heard from Gerald on, unless you wanted to add anything else. Chief Haley?
Nothing necessarily to add, just simply to say that it is something that the state chiefs are working on, but it's something that we're also working on locally. We meet tomorrow with the Criminal Justice Administrators Association. It's a topic of conversation that we have brought up many times. What is our response? How is our response going to take place? One of the things that's being done here locally in the jails is the sheriff has implemented a number of programs to try and increase the rehabilitation efforts here locally. We want to have the greatest amount of impact that we can have by reducing recidivism rates here locally. And so that's one of the efforts that's taking place that we're very proud of, the sheriff is very proud of. I speak very highly of the programs to everybody I get the chance to speak to because of the success that they're seeing. I also don't see that think that we've seen the end of this. I think this is just the beginning. I think the more people start to figure out, oh, you mean I'm not going to go to jail for these things, the greater the likelihood is that those crimes are going to continue. And so I think we're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg. We have noticed an impact here locally, even though these are state numbers. We are seeing an impact here in our own community. And it is a source of frustration to our officers. There is one area that the state is currently trying to correct. A number of gun-related crimes were turned into misdemeanors as a result of the passage of Proposition 47. There is a movement right now to correct that. And so some of those gun crimes are going to be returned to felonies, hopefully at the end of this legislative season. Other than that, we're still working on some of the other, what we think are greater issues with the almost decriminalization of narcotics possession in the state. So we're keeping our eye on it and seeing what comes.
And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Council questions for the city manager. Seeing none, a good report covering all the items, and we will move on next to community forum, which is an opportunity for anyone in the community to speak on any item not on the agenda that is under our jurisdiction. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and esteemed council members. My name is Dan Feldman. I'm a member of Atheists United San Luis Obispo, a local organization with over 450 members, including those who live and work in Atascadero, such as myself. On this day in 1869, the Transcontinental Railroad was completed, making the transportation of people and goods across our nation quicker, cheaper, and safer. New towns sprung up, and the economy of the West blossomed. The steam locomotives on this railway were made possible by an innovation by James Watt, a Scottish inventor and engineer who had a deep understanding and appreciation for the scientific method. Watt's application of science to the real world contributed immensely to the well-being of countless others. Let us follow James Watt's example, using evidence and reason to govern well and promote the welfare of our fair city. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak this evening? Seeing no one coming forward, we'll close the community forum and bring it back to council. Moving on to the next item on our agenda is a public hearing, B1, weed abatement, hearing of objections. And I'm going to assume that Captain Peterson will be taking this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is our annual weed abatement hearing of objections. We send out approximately 2,000 letters this year notifying folks of the weed condition that needs to be cut on their properties. We ask that the council hear any objections and propose removal of vegetation and allow or overrule any of those objections, and then authorize the fire chief to proceed with the cutting of the weeds that are necessary to cut. That's all
Thank
I
you.
Have.
That's all you need, because we've had this process occur about every year about this time. Any questions by council? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. If any public has a question or comment, seeing none approach, we'll close the public comment portion, bring it back to council for deliberation or motion.
Make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturtevant, seconded by Councilman Kelly to adopt staff's recommendation. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is a management report entitled Facility Rental Policies and Procedures. I'll be stepping down on this item because it may contain portions that I could have a potential conflict of interest in. And out of an abundance of caution, I would rather just withdraw from discussion from the dais. However, I have been advised by the city attorney that I can participate as a member of the public if I so choose on any issue that may relate to me personally. As my wife and I own and operate Portola Inn and Portola Event Planning, which gets involved with some of the similar things being discussed, such as special events. With that, I'll ask Councilwoman Fonzie to run this portion of the meeting.
All right, we'll wait until you leave the room or head out to the public area. And who will be doing the staff report this evening? Terry, go ahead.
Thank you, Councilman Fonzie. Appreciate that. So it's time to update the facility rental policies and procedures. We've taken that from 2010 and gone through it quite extensively to update things such as your different room numbers and the number of occupancy that those things have, rental facilities with catering, major special events and procedures that we have, and specifically security guards, co-sponsored events, special event sponsorship, all of those things that came out of the February 23rd approval of special event sponsorship. So this became something where we needed to take the time and update it. As far as community impact, it provides the community with an updated document for rental and policy procedures, clarification of co-sponsored events versus special event sponsorship and what that means, as well as clear guidelines that continue to make rental and event information easy to understand and plan for the public as well. When we were doing this, we did a couple flow changes as well, so it would flow better. Things weren't as duplicated throughout, more consistent for folks to understand. The summary of updates that we had, again, ranged from department reporting changes, clarifying those things throughout, the city hall room and size changes, because now we have room 106, room 104, and different sizes that apply. Barbecue and park reservation updates, pavilion catering changes that we've had and updating there, security guard clarification, how many security guards per different events, and then co-sponsored in the newly added special event sponsorship program. And then again, reformatting the flow. Other highlights, definition updates to co-sponsored events has been a specific area. We've also had, with the addition of our special event sponsorship, what that means, what applies to that in attracting folks to our area from around neighboring counties, that sort of thing. So next steps, once approved, is we would have a new policies and procedures manual to follow, and then we would have special event sponsor opportunities that we can optimize with it all being officially in the manual. some of the alternatives that we have as City Council. You might provide us direction on any desired adjustments to what we have before you that's all redlined, and then possibly giving us direction on the co-sponsored special events criteria and agreement template. So with that, I would say that some questions that you might have that I can walk through the different changes that we have. Yeah, any kind of questions, go ahead.
Thank you, Terry. All right, any questions, Brian? Well, I have one, and that's regarding the catering, that we have had a permanent and exclusive caterer in the past and not allowed individual caterers to be selected and use the facilities. And this policy seems to be altering it, although the word exclusive is used in one of the clauses. Is actually on page 17 of our staff report, page 215 total.
Yes.
It says, when a catering service is contracted with the city, that caterer will become the exclusive on-site caterer for pavilion events. And we've heard from other caterers and people who would like to hold different functions there that they'd like to bring their own preferred caterer there. And I was wondering if you could talk about that.
I can certainly talk about that. What we've been doing is we've been under a trial time frame without an exclusive caterer. It's given us an opportunity to have different caterers come into the pavilion and work with different folks. There's more competition. It's better for customers to have that flexibility. If they want to have a certain caterer, they could have a certain caterer. They're not tied to a specific exclusive caterer. And it's given us the opportunity to sample other caterers that are available. As far as having an exclusive caterer, it's a one-stop shop type of opportunity for folks, and it's convenient. They don't have to look for, you know, specific things with all their linens and their china and all those elements. Right now, though, the trial time frame, we don't have anybody in place, and we wouldn't go out to RFP until January, and we would bring that back to you before we would do that to see if we would want to take that out to RFP to do an exclusive caterer.
So what's happening in the interim, at least after we adopt this?
In the interim, we have different events that have the flexibility to have different caterers. An example would be Cider Festival. You know, they wanted to have a specific caterer to do their event, and this gave us the opportunity to work with someone different. And then also we have other functions there that we have different caterers that we can work with. Pacific Harvest does help us with catering on Saturdays, I believe. Specific days they have rental anyway that they do and different events that they've been assigned to. And then I'll have Rochelle comment.
Yeah, I think Pacific Harvest lost their exclusive or let go of their exclusive contract effective at the end of the year. They still had contracts with different people who had rented the pavilion, and so they're continuing to fulfill those contracts. But it is wide open right now. There are some pros and some cons to having an exclusive contractor. Some people really love it. Some of our people that want to rent it, others not so much. So what we decided is we went out for RFP, RFQ at the time and didn't get any good respondents. Let's try it for a year. Let's get some experience under our belt on what does that do. In the past, and the reason we originally went to an exclusive contract is we had a lot of people don't take care of things as much when it's not the equipment that they're using every day. So we had a lot of breakage, abuse of things walking away, those types of things. And so this is really another trial period. What we'll do is when it comes towards the end of the year, December or so, we'll come back to you with a staff recommendation on whether we should go exclusive or leave it wide open. With the wording that's here in the contract, I think Councilmember Fondi had brought up some concern with the wording. It basically says, hey, if we go to exclusive, this is how it's going to be, but it doesn't require us to go to exclusive. That being said, if we want to take out that paragraph that's on page 215 of your staff reports that starts when a catering service is contracted to the city, we could certainly do that because we know we're coming back anyways. We could change the policy to address that when we do.
Very good. And I know Councilmember Kelly has a question, but I wanted to finish up. Have we raised our security deposit in case there is more breakage with these caterers coming in and using equipment?
I believe that everything has stayed consistent until we have our fee schedule adopted.
And is that something that we could address this evening or not?
I believe, and I'm looking at Jerry, that it is on our fee schedule. Are security deposits on the fee schedule?
They are on the fee schedule. I don't know off the top of my head if they've been increased over CPI.
So that would be something. The fee schedule is coming to you at your next council meeting, so we can certainly do that then. They're separate. That's in a resolution, so we'll do it then.
Very good. Thank you. Councilmember Kelly?
Yes, I'd like to, the exclusive, I'd like us to really look at that and consider it, because I think you have different people that come and have events that want to have maybe a different quality of catering. And I think there should be an option in there where somebody can provide their own caterer. And if they do, there's got to be something to work out with somebody who actually has the contract. And I'm in full agreement that if we do get an outside caterer in there, that a deposit needs to go up and a procedure really needs to be put in place that deposit is not given back until somebody from city staff actually clears it up.
Very good. I'm going to open this to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll close it and bring it back for a motion. This is actually review and approve the revisions to the 2010 facility rental policies.
I'll make a motion that we approve the recommendations.
Second.
Marcia, roll call, please.
There was the question about the paragraph. Are we leaving that in for now then? Is that motion?
I would like to take it out. Is that
That's
okay?
Fine. If we could take that out, I'll add that to my motion.
So that was just the one paragraph or just the whole section about the exclusive?
Just the one paragraph.
It was just the one
paragraph.
The one paragraph.
It's the second paragraph. It's a three-paragraph area.
Okay. Just write that down here.
Thank you for catching
okay.
that.
Sure. Just wanted to make sure what we were voting on here, not we, you. Mm-hmm. Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
And Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
3-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We will wait for the mayor to approach the dais.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is council announcements and reports. And though I always like to keep them separate from committee reports, since we don't have very much tonight, we'll go ahead and combine those. I'm just going to start from my left to my right. And any announcement, report, or committee report you would like to offer, please go ahead.
I have no reports. The only thing is maybe, Gerald, would you want to make a comment on the Tip a Cop dinner?
Please.
Coming up, please.
I do have a Tip a Cop dinner coming up, and I'll pull up the date real quick. It's going to be May 24th. We're again joining with our partners in the North County from law enforcement to support Special Olympics. The way we do that is by holding a Tip a Cop. Tickets can be purchased in a number of places, but coming down to the police department is probably the easiest way. We have two seatings for dinner, one at 5:30, one at 7 o'clock. The event's going to be, again, held up at the Paso Robles Event Center at the fairgrounds. It's always a great time and a fun time to be served with mediocre service by members of the law enforcement community. But we have great food, all donated, 100% of the proceeds go to Special Olympics, because people like Food for Less come in and donate all of the meat. Other local bakers donate all of the bread that is used. All of the beer and wine is donated by local vintners and vendors. We literally have zero cost going into this event, and we come in and raise a good deal of money locally. When you look at what's raised nationally for Special Olympics, the state of California is one of the better earners, but here locally in our county, between the four Tip a Cop dinners we have, we are one of the best fundraising efforts in the state per capita. And so very proud of what we do. Come on out, have a great time, and we look forward to seeing you there That's on the 24th of this month at the Paso Robles Event Center. Buy tickets ahead of time at the police department.
Well, I know that you are as disappointed as I that this year they are doing the Tippecanoe event while we will be at a city council meeting. And
yes, we've asked in the past to avoid that. However, when we're not having a council meeting, the Paso Robles city is having a council meeting. And so every other year it seems to hit one of us. This year it's us, and so we will be disappointed not to see you there. But I know that council has been tremendous supporters of Special Olympics within our community. I know that I've spoken with the mayor already, and he's expressed support from all of the council. And in years past, we've gotten great council support. And so just because you won't be there doesn't mean that we don't know that you guys have a great deal of love for our cause. And we, I think, are going to try and figure out a way to bring you some dinners that night.
Yes.
And have you a part, even though you're not there in person.
Yes. I've taken the liberty of requesting our city manager, see if we can arrange, as we've done with community barbecues, that if I believe we'll have a closed session that evening and we'll be looking for some food, be an excellent opportunity to have maybe a police escort of that food down. I don't know. We'll see how. Some one way or another, I'm sure we can get some food. Yeah, I know that Kiwanis is working feverishly as usual to make sure we are well represented. And I would offer to the council, in the past, we have chipped in a little extra ourselves and been able to purchase a chief's table. I would very much like to see us have a chief's table left empty, close proximity to up there, but we'll if we could show our support. So if council members, I believe that's about a $500 bill.
Yes, the normal tables are $200 for a table of eight, and then in the chief and sheriff's area, the price goes up. So as the service goes down, the price goes up. That's how it actually works out.
Excellent.
But, the chief's area is $500 a table, and myself, Commander Allen, the other local area chiefs, and the sheriff will all be serving in that specific area. So we will do something to memorialize your participation. Thank you.
So I'll just leave that to individual council members. Check in with the city manager. I think the city can chip in a little bit towards the food costs, but if each council member can contribute, we could continue as we have in the past, be represented with a chief's table, which would be a nice gesture because we do appreciate what you guys do. And that, you had no other questions or comments? And oh, yeah, maybe. Well, yes, Councilman Kelly is going to have a busy day tomorrow. I believe he's spending the morning at the state hospital with that advisory board, and he's going to add a new experience to his repertoire. He's going to be taking over for me on the Integrated Waste Management Authority. Be his first meeting tomorrow, and I will just show up for the last tidbit of a meeting, but thank you for taking over that responsibility. I don't believe we have anything else that's... Oh, I will bring up... this will be discussed at a future meeting, but the last LOCOG meeting was primarily the discussion of the self-help county initiative and looking at that potential. And I was successful in bringing forward your request, and we had considerable discussion, but... there was a support by the rest of the board to eliminate that category so that we have more flexibility. We was all felt that we needed to keep that 4% category for safe routes to schools, which is a broader definition than traditional, but everyone felt that that really won't be much of a limit because there's not a city in existence that hasn't some portion fits near a school. But that does eliminate that category we had some discussion on, and so I was appreciative that they heard a Tascadero. And on that, I have no other reports. Moving on to Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you. I just wanted to announce that the Veterans Memorial Foundation will be having a barbecue in the park on June 31st. If there's any member in the city or the public that would like to buy tickets in advance, I will have them. And moving on, the Air Pollution Control District, we had a burn today in the North County. I don't know if anybody was aware, but they burned out at Camp Roberts. And actually, I don't think there was any impact on our air quality in Atascadero, which was a nice relief for some of us to suffer when it burns. In terms of the Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, LAFCO is receiving an application for another water district. And we just got done with the election for the water district out in the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin area. This is one called a California Water District, a different type of district than was last heard. This is mainly an application that is coming from those who own the vineyards. And it's non-contiguous properties. In other words, they're not consolidated in one boundary. They may have little vineyards here and there. It'll be interesting to see where this goes, but here we go again. In terms of the Water Resources Advisory Committee, or the RAC, this was actually a very interesting meeting held at the county center. Usually it's rather boring. This one was not. The Department of Water Resources is moving towards looking beyond water basins, which was what we've talked about with the SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Districts and Agencies, towards watersheds, which could have a big impact on particularly developers. They're going to have to prove that the development would have to be beneficial to the watershed, which I think would be a pretty high bar to have to go through, and this may be handled in the EIR process. We're not sure at this point. The county now has an official SGMA strategy adopted in 2015, and they will assist in the GSA formation. So I have tried to get a little more information how that would affect Atascadero, and I'm waiting to get something back. But there are five basins in the county that are considered to be high priority, and we happen to be within one of those. The county has received a $250,000 grant from Proposition 1 money for concerning water. And rather than putting it towards our district, they're putting it actually towards the San Luis Obispo and the water basin to do modeling, which is a bit disappointing. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Brian, if I may, I'm going to piggyback on a comment by Roberta, if I may. It has to do with the water issue. And of course, Roberta and I have continued to lobby in this area for local control, which is very much a concern. And I think we all have said we want to fight for local control on this issue. Some of the comments that you brought up that are being discussed now, it does give me caution. Because when you're talking about watershed versus water basin, there are a number of water basins within watersheds. Water basins are something that we've managed by in our community. However, when you adopt a watershed definition, that is pretty much the language of the Regional Water Quality Control Board system. The whole state is laid out in basically watershed districts. Our Regional Water Quality Control Board, Central Coast, incorporates a watershed that's made up of five counties, for example. And one of the terms you often will hear in discussions at the Regional Water Quality Control Board is beneficial uses. It is a defined term that's used to evaluate and compare different uses, and it's just I notice, at least, that more and more discussions about water are adopting language used by the state for regional control versus local control, which we've been fighting for. And so it's just a cause of concern. I do commend Councilman Fonzi, who has really represented us well on numerous committees on water. And please stay diligent. Thank you. Councilman Sturtevant.
Mayor. May I just get a quick clarification?
Yes.
I was trying to jot down some of those dates, particularly of the Veterans Memorial Barbecue, and I jotted down June 31st, which I know is incorrect. What was the date for that?
I thought it was the last Tuesday in June, which I thought was the 31st, but I might be wrong.
Give me 1 second here. So that will be June 28th.
28th, very good.
Thank you very much. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
No reports, and thank you very much for what you just said about the language, because it is all about language and how it is, the words they use, and a lot of people don't realize that, so thank you for bringing that to the attention of everyone, because we do need to watch what they're being, what's being said and how they're saying it. Thank you.
Very good. Any issues to be brought up by staff? Then we are adjourned. Thank you.
Certainly do. Beneficial.
Yeah, they aren't sound so good.